I'm glad you're here. I really am. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I've given them a chance to get out. Is there any more children that need to leave? Praise God. Can you rest up and stand together? For those who need a title, it's more, he is more than enough. He is more than enough. For our benefit, God has given us his word so that we would understand that he loves someone before he loved us. And he really loves someone before he loved us, because it started with his, those whom he calls his children, the children of Israel. And when you think about all the things that he went through because of his love for them, why would he not do it for you? I want you to, that concept needs to be in your mind, that God loves me. Can everyone say it with me? God loves me. And not because I'm part of the church. He would have saved you if you was all by yourself. Not because you're here in this building, because he loves you out there as well. When you were lost and in sin, he loved you out there as well. See, when the church realizes that, when he says God so loved the world, he meant everybody. He did not mean a particular group of people only. He said God so loved the world that he gave. And that's what we're going to be going to do. We're going to get to a place where we know that we have something to give the world. It's not something that you consume upon. When you consume something, only when it benefits you. But when you give out the love of God, it changes your life and whoever the recipient of that love is. Amen? And if the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, that's why we want the Holy Ghost. We want to be filled with God's Spirit for this reason, so that we can love people the way he loved us. We are complete in him. Without him, I can do nothing. And I'm praying and I'm asking you to receive the word of God today and to be praying for me, because you're important. I can't tell you how important you are. And when he makes me feel like this, how can I say this? Have you ever seen a parent or a child when this child has become rebellious and the child wants to run away from the parent, but the parent loves them so much, you can see them as they're leaving, their tears streaming down their face because they love that child. That child just misunderstood their relationship. That child could not receive the love that parent wanted to give, or the constraints that parent put upon that child. That child took it as, they're trying to control me. I don't want to be controlled that way. Or they just misunderstood the love of that parent, because that parent knew what was out in the world. That parent knew that if I don't guide them, if I'm not strict, if I don't put restraints on their life, they'll step out and step into things that they may never recover from. And sometimes we as adults can do the same thing. We can find ourselves in situations that we won't recover from because we thought we could handle it. We thought we can just keep going. Praise God. Sometimes we just keep pushing. I know you're standing. Sometimes we keep going and going and going, and we're exhausted and we still keep going. But God wants you to know today, he came to set the captives free. And sometimes you can be captives just to your own mentality. What's the title of the message? He's More Than Enough. If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Once you get there, chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, church. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, let me back up just a little bit here. When you're doing something for God, when you're in the presence of God, you need to realize also the devil sees what's going on as well. He's not ignorant to what's going on in your life. He's not omnipresent like God is. When it says that God is omnipresent, that means that he can be here and he can also be in China. The devil is not like that. The devil is aware of what we do sometimes. And in this particular situation, the devil said to him, in verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, it says earlier that that Jesus has not been eaten because he's on a fast, right? So when you're on a fast, why would you think that you would not be tempted as well? You see, everything that Jesus, as a man in this earth, went through, so will you. Don't think that it's because he's God and I'm not. Don't ever put that separation, that division between you. It's because you are a part of mankind. And he will tempt all men. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted as we are, in every measure, in every way. So let's consider this. And I'm going to give you my scriptural text. I'm going to get to it real quick here. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, thank you, brother, all this power will I give thee. When he speaks of power there, he's speaking also of influence. If he could have said it this way, and the devil said unto him, all this influence will I give unto thee. And the glory of them, and that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. And if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And that's where I'm going to stop, because there's a lot more reading involved. I don't want you to be standing, but I want you to hear it, receive. I want you to receive the word of God. Father, we pray even now. I pray that you would help me through this process. This is something that is so important to this body, because you're wanting to plant the word of God in our hearts and in our minds, so that we will receive it and begin to walk in it, that we will receive it and walk in it, Father. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. It's going to sound as though I'm all over the place, but I need to clarify some things that have happened so that you'll kind of understand where this man is going. I have preached or been allowed to preach in this church many times, and I have also had the opportunity to be on the receiving end, receiving the preaching and teaching from this church body, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm understanding as I walk with God that whenever God preaches the word of God, he's trying to plant something in our hearts. Amen? You receive that? So when you receive the word of God in your heart, it doesn't just remain there. It's anything that's, if you were a man or a woman and you had a garden and you decided to plant something in that garden, you would have the expectation that something's going to grow from it. Amen? So when the word of God is being planted in your heart, God is expecting something to grow from it. Amen? So sometimes it's just faith. Something will be said that will increase your faith in a particular area of your life, and that's what I'm here to do today. I need to take you into my life just a little bit, because I was walking like as though I was immune to certain things, and I don't know if you've ever been that way. I don't know if women are like that, because I don't meet a lot of them that talk about how they are in society or in their families. But me, as a man in my household, there are a lot of things that we go through, and the image in my mind is I got to keep the upper lip. I got to keep the faith. I got to walk a certain way so that they don't get discouraged. And can I tell you this? That's not the right way to walk with God. You have to be vulnerable. You have to allow God to break you by his word. And when we hear the word break, we think of something broken and torn and mangled. That's not what it's talking about. It's being moved by the word of God. When you're moved by something, it's like being broken as well, so that you understand that God's word has to change us so that we can change the world. If it doesn't affect you, how would it affect them? If you don't believe it, how will they believe it? I'm speaking of the world. Because when you start believing, it starts changing you. And as you walk with God, you'll learn that it's so important the people around you have grace for you. Why do I say that? Because all of us don't grow at the same rate. All of us don't grow the same way even. And I don't know why, but many times I've likened our pastor's ministry to me as a coach. Coaching someone into something is making them better. It's taking something good. You're observing someone and you're seeing their skills and you're making them better if they will listen. The part about it is if they're listening and they really have a heart to change. Because I've heard the same instructions lots of times, but in hearing it is not enough. You've got to want to change. And see, if you hear it the first time and you don't want to change, that means it didn't hurt enough. Something has to be broken in you so that you can receive the word of God and walk in it. It has to become the thing that nourishes you. It has to be the thing that you desire more than anything else. There are so many options in this life that we have now that we didn't have when I was first coming into the church. When they say, you guys would never do this. They say, get rid of your television sets. That's what we did. Could you imagine? And then you get accused. Why you got so many babies? I'll leave that alone. Don't you guys have anything else to do? So when you think about it, you have to understand that there's like a stigma. It's like you always will find something to occupy yourself with. You're always wanting to be entertained. You're always wanting to see what's new. And sometimes we can fall into sin because of our curiosity. We can fall into sin because we are idle. And the whole thing about it is that unless you're around people sometimes that are really seeking after God, you won't. If you're not really around people who are seeking after God's will in their lives, you don't. It's like, I need guidance. When I first got to church, there was Risa and myself and another young lady, and we got together. And it's like, I know that when I see couples together, when I see people coming together, I know that it's God that's doing it, because something about that other person motivates them to live for God even in a greater measure. And he puts people around you to help you to live for God. And as they're there, you're going to see how they minister to you in the grace of God and how they were important. Because see, a sinner needs a saint as much as a saint needs a sinner. Sometimes a saint needs to remind a sinner that you were once like me. Sometimes as a believer, you can forget that I was once a sinner. You can start feeling so good about yourself. Oh, I've achieved all this. But the slightest temptation, the temptation that drug you back before can also drag you back again. And you've got to understand, that's why it's so important that as you reach out to others, you can begin to understand that I'm reaching someone who's lost, but I can't be reached by them to pull me backwards, to pull me into the depths of their sin. You've got to protect yourself. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because there are some things in other people's lives that could become alluring to you. There are some things in other people's lives that you might say, oh, it looks like they're having fun. Whenever, all of you guys have not experienced it, but some of you, I have your email, and I could be scrolling, doing something, listening to a song, reading a book, and all of a sudden you get something from me, and it's usually because when I saw that thing, I saw you. And sometimes when I see things, I'm afraid of them because I said, I hope they receive this in the right way. And since I've been here, I've learned to be accountable. See, I have a granddaughter, but she's not my daughter. She's my granddaughter. And there's someone in between us, and that's my daughter. So whenever I send my granddaughter something, I send my daughter the same thing. I said, this is something I sent to you, to out my granddaughter, your daughter, so that we're covered because we're trying to protect her. And I have never felt this before. I have never gone through this in my life because there is something that God rose up in me that I didn't even have for my own daughter. For some reason, I feel more equipped to help her than I did to help her. And I don't know what that is, but what I've learned to know is that you grow in grace. You grow in knowledge. And you get to a place where I'm not the one that I need to pour into anymore. I got to start praying for this body. I got to, because someday she might be someone's wife. Someday she might be somebody's mother. And what I give her now as I'm walking in my path, as I may die or go the way of the grave, and I may never see her family, but I need to know that I poured into her. So I hope you take your calling and election and make it sure. Because you're here for a purpose and for a reason, to have an effect upon someone else's life. It wasn't a coincidence for the time that young girl was here that she said or she spoke of the impact someone else had in her life. That was for you. Not just for him, it's for all of you. If you just reach out and do what you can for someone else, you're not selfish unless you choose to be. You don't have to be selfish. And don't think it's some glorious, great thing you have to do for anybody. Just love them. Sometimes people don't even have the capacity to love each other. Some people don't even know what love looks like. And then all it takes is you showing you care and telling someone they're important and reaching out to someone. And sometimes we're stuck because we can't see no further than this. We put on our own blinders. And we don't understand how there's, if you just put your hand down and you start looking out. And even the thing that gets me is that you know for a fact that you can pray for anything and God possibly will hear you and do it. Why won't you pray for souls? Why would you say, God, will you give me just one person? Why would you not challenge God and say, God, there has to be one person I can reach. Has to be at least one person I can talk to. Has to be at least one person that I can minister to. My life has not been in vain. There's things that I've gone through that I know that can help somebody. When my son committed suicide, it was months later, I'm walking into an Arc thrift store, and the Lord starts talking to me. I'm like, so Lord, now? Even, you can wear sorrow. You can wear your pain. You can wear something where you say, well, Lord, not right now. I've got to carry this a little longer. I got to be covered, but I got to look sad. I got to walk around in this mind state where, God, you can't use me right now because I've been through something. And I'm speaking of any kind of been through somethings. Sometimes you go through something and God says, let it go. Because staying there and staying covered up will cause you to stay there longer than he ever wants you to be. He wants you, and not that he doesn't care, not that he can't heal, not that he can't fix it. It's just that if you carry it, he can't. If you're carrying it, he can't. Two people can't occupy the same space. Think about that. So what I do is I cast all my cares upon him because I know that he cares for me. And as I walked away from the pain and the hurt of his death, he started taking me into the lives of people who had gone through the same thing I went through. And they were stuck where I was stuck. And I was able to say, you can come out. You don't have to stay there. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do. There was a woman standing in the line at an Arc thrift store. And I stood behind her, and God always gets me with curiosity. I look back behind me, and she's holding all these cups. I said, you want help? Who does that? I said, you want help? I'll help you hold the cups while you pay for them. And she said, sure. I thank you, brother. I took the cup. I helped her with the cups, and we go to the counter. And the Lord's speaking to me while I'm walking behind her, because wherever you're associated with, whatever gets your attention, like the burning bush, whatever you're near, God will speak to you about it. And so he's speaking to me about this woman, and I'm talking to her, and I said, why are you carrying so many cups? Because it's just you. And he said, well, my mother, when she was living, God bless her soul, she loves to have tea parties. And, you know, she's been gone for maybe a year or less, and I want to honor her. This is the time of year that we always have tea parties on. And so we're not having a tea party with her because she is gone. And then you can feel the pain when people say certain things. She's gone. But now I'm going to carry on that thing to honor my mother. And the reason you honor people after they've meant something to you, you carry on the things they used to do. You carry on because God never intended for you to stop because you are amongst the living. So here we are. I'm standing at the bus stop at the bench, and we're going out of the store. And it was so interesting. Her car was next to mine. Only God does those kind of things. And so her car, and she packed up her things and she's going out. And I went up to her and I said, you know what? Sometimes the Lord speaks to me regarding the people I meet, and I need to tell you something. The Lord wants to know, he wants you to know that what you're doing is exactly what you're honoring your mother, and you're doing exactly what you should do. That's all I said. And see, that's what, if you believe the scripture, it says one plants. Just think, if you never plant. See, somebody has to plant. And you see, when your pastor was up here and he said that he preached that message, it's time to plant, that was a mandate to all of us to start planting. You follow what I'm saying? It wasn't, I'm going to plant. It was, we're all going to plant. And you don't know if you'll come behind someone and you water what's already been planted so that God can give the increase. You have to understand, you're part of the work. There's nothing that's greater than that. You're part of the work. Let's lift up our hands for just a moment and worship God. Father, help us to understand, oh God, that we're a part of the work of your kingdom. No matter how it looks to us, you're working even when we don't see you working. Your ways are above our ways, and your thoughts are above our thoughts. And Lord, you're revealing to us even now, Lord, that we're a part of the work, and we're more, and you are more than enough to help us accomplish your task, working through us and in us, in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So what was the significance of reading about Jesus? When Jesus was tempted, we have to understand that he was a man, and then there are women in this church as well, and we have to understand that we're all going to be tempted where we live. Where, when I say where you live, where your mindset's at. If you love money, guess what your greatest temptation is going to be? If you love sex, if you love those kind of things, you have to be careful, because this is what happens to you, in case you didn't know. The devil wants you to love it so much that you love it more than you love God. Plain and simple. If you love the applause of men, you will learn to love that more than you love the praise of God. Satan will always have a substitute, something to draw you into his kingdom, so that you will put your focus and your love on it, not on him. It's all about worship. That's why Jesus was tempted. That's why he was tempted. We have to understand that when he was tempted, so we could be tempted in that same way. And you may not think that you're worshiping something, and you may not even know it until God reveals it to you. He wants you to know, not in condemnation, but in the understanding that anything that's between you and God can become something you worship. I don't care if it's a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a phone, a car. There are always things that can become more important to us than God. That's why we say, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Because if you don't, something else will slip right on in. When Jesus was being not only tempted, but he was being challenged as to his identity, if thou be the Son of God, realize that you'll be tempted as to your identity as well. I'm not going to say much about this, but God knew the young man that Jonathan brought would need our pastor. He would question the things that happen in this church. So you have to know the reason behind what we do here. When we have developmental Development Wednesdays, it's for your growth. Man, woman, child, children, doesn't matter who it is. If you need to be up here so that you have the confidence amongst this body to go out there and tell everybody, that's what you need. If it takes that, see, this is what I keep seeing in my spirit. If you could imagine Pastor Marquise with shorts on and a jersey and Sister J next to him ready to run, they probably were wearing jogging clothes, wouldn't they? Because they're trying to be all modest. Anyway, they got their jogging clothes on. I want you to get that picture in your mind. Yes, she can. She can high step. I've seen her high step before. I've seen her kick up that high. I can't raise my leg that high. I almost hurt myself there. Anyway, that being said, yes, she can. Get a picture of them wanting to go forward. And see, the thing about some people in the church, when they get the vision that God has called them, because of their lifestyle of what they were before they came to God, they brought that into the body. I'm not talking about the sin. I'm talking about not necessarily ambition, but the desire to do something with their lives came along with them. So when you get here, and if you could imagine, they're sitting in the blocks ready to take off, and then God says, he throws a chain around them and holds them back. He says, you can't go without them. See, they were ready to go. They were ready to take off. They could have been evangelists. They could have been other things other than a pastor and a pastor's wife. They could have chose other things. But God chose. And they chose to listen. So I don't want you to think of yourself as being a burden, but I want you to think of yourself, you have a responsibility to let them go. If you put your heart and your mind into this, we'll go so much further. If you decide that, you know, I've lived my life, but now it's time to stop being selfish and live for something greater than myself. It's time to change. It's time to grow up. It's time to let go of excuses. You know, in the last church I was in, you're not there anymore. In the last relationship I was in, you're not there anymore. Change your place and change your mind. Come up out of that. That's why it said leave it behind. And it's hard sometimes. But if you confess it as the truth, oh, this is where he wants me to start preaching. Man, I don't like talking about myself. I don't. The less you know about me, the better I feel. You see, I came to church one particular day, and see, what God does to you is that he will always find someone you honor. He will always find someone you respect in this body, and he'll give them a word. You're like, oh, I know it's God, because I've seen how they walk with him. I've seen how they pray and they fast. I see how they preach and they teach, so why would I not believe what they got to say to me? It's time to get past your excuses. And so I'm in church, and he always gets the closest one to you, brother. My daughter says, Dad, God showed me something about you. Oh, darling, what is it? Oh, I don't want to hear this in here because I know it's going to be true because I walk with her. See, sometimes we don't love the truth. It's good when I'm telling you the truth, when I'm telling you something, but when you're telling me, moi? Why? I'd like to be on the outside looking in. But see, if you're on the outside looking in, you can't change. So there we go. She tells me, Dad, and I'm thinking, I didn't know what she was going to say. She said, Dad, the Lord showed me that you have anger and resentment in your heart. So she was just one person that said it. I was like, okay, all right. And I can go pray silently by myself somewhere. And then Sister Brooke walked. Brother Murray? Then I go back to the word of God and says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. And if I'm not mistaken, she's a witness and my daughter's a witness. And because they witnessed the power of God in them. And so she says, you have anger and bitterness, but it's also deep-rooted stuff. She had to go a little deeper. She couldn't leave it at the surface. Because God will never leave it at the surface. Because, see, he said, I came to bring a sword to cut at the root of things. You see, if I'm not free, how can I be up here trying to free you? He's not playing. If I'm not free, I can't tell you how to be free. Reese and I have been in church for some time, and the Lord was showing me, he says, you're preaching and teaching, but you're not preaching and teaching with revelation. You see, I get chewed up once a week, and I just love it, right? But see, when you're growing, and you want to have revival, and you want to change, you have to come under the scrutiny of his spirit. You have to allow God to do what he wants to do, not what's comfortable to you. So it's going to keep coming. It's not going to stop if I want to be saved. Remember, I've said this so many times. He's not willing that any should perish. What that means is that he's not going to stop coming after you. He's not going to let up because he loves you. And so he's teaching us by his tenacity is for us to have tenacity when we're going after someone. If you can't call somebody and say, are you coming to church today? If you can't say, well, it's going to be a little more gas on my part, but I'm willing to drive to your house and pick you up. Do you really want to see people saved? Are you willing to put yourself out there just a little bit so that they can come in? And so I got two witnesses, and for me, that was enough till I got a phone call. And I'm like, what? Why am I so visible all of a sudden? So we agreed to come together and to pray. And while we were talking, the Lord said, you need to fast. And sometimes, if you don't understand this, fasting is what opens up your heart to receive from God. Amen? Even if it's a meal, fasting is for your benefit. Amen? So I had to fast for 3 days. We got together. We came to church early to pray. And I didn't know this about myself. I don't like talking about what's going on in my life and saying it out loud. And that's not scriptural. Why do I say that? Because the revelation that came this way, Sister Stephanie and Jonathan are very close, brother and sister. They prayed with each other many times. And then as they were praying, they were seeing themselves discuss and talk about the same things over and over again, but they weren't healed from it. Then the Lord said, you're not obeying the word. You're confessing your faults one to another, but you're not praying for each other so that you can be healed. And so when they started doing that, God started healing. You see, you're the one that activates God to do his word if you do everything it says. So if you're going to confess or someone confesses to you something, you need to pray afterwards. Amen? You're following me. So we're having this powerful service, right? And everybody leaves, and the Lord shows me one person in the church missed what they needed. And I was like, whoa. I just like, he showed me this person that missed something that they needed in this church. And so I go running behind her, and I stand out there with her, and I said, what's wrong? And she says, I'm angry. I am angry. And I said, keep going. And I just held her hands, and I said, keep going, and keep going, and keep going. And she kept going and going and going, talking out of her mouth with words, not speaking in tongues, just talking. And I have so much respect for the courage that she had in that moment, because she was not afraid of just standing in our presence. Even though we were out there in the foyer, she was constantly kept going, saying, I'm angry about this, I'm angry about this, I'm angry about this, I'm angry about this. And she did not stop till she broke down. I saw it with my own eyes. Why are you saying that, Brother Murray? Because when it came to be my time, all I could do was speak in tongues. Because I was so embarrassed about how I felt. I was so embarrassed about what was going to be spoken. I was so embarrassed that I just kept speaking in tongues so that these people would leave me alone. I kept speaking in tongues so that they would stop digging. I kept speaking in tongues so I could hide behind the tongues. Because sometimes we hide behind the Holy Ghost. Because we don't want anyone to know how we really feel about what we're going through and what we're struggling with. We hide behind the Holy Ghost. Because I can speak in tongues much, much quicker than I can express what I feel in my heart. Because you might not like it, and it might be towards you. And so I'm standing there speaking in tongues and feeling some sort of deliverance, but it was not complete. And see, when you're around children and the Lord says your children are your salt, salt preserves you. So in their way of preserving was to confront me and say, Dad, you stood there in our midst and you prayed in tongues, but you did not confess. And I just so happened to look up the word. It says confess means, in the Greek, means to open your mouth and speak. So I was being disobedient and trying to cover up who I thought I was. So come out, church. Come out of who you think you are. Come out and say what's really in your heart. Come out and allow God to heal you. Because, see, I hindered my own healing. Can I tell you that? I hindered my own healing. I started the process, but I didn't finish because I was hiding. And what did Adam do? He hid. When the Lord came in his presence in front of Adam and Eve, he said, Adam, where art thou? And he found them hiding. So I'm like Adam now. And see, there's so many things that God wants to do for us as a church, as a body. But if you're hiding, or after you make a mistake, you begin to hide, you take on another character, don't do it. Stay in the fire. Let God cleanse you. Let God change you. Correction is good. The Bible says correction is grievous, but then it brings about the... Thank you, Jesus. I can't get a word right now. Correction is necessary, but it's grievous when you first receive it. But it brings forth the fruit of righteousness. It causes you to walk in the right way. And if people didn't correct you, that really means they don't love you. If you don't correct your children, you don't love them. Stop living that lie. Stop living that lie. If you do not correct your children, you do not love them. Because someday they're going to walk into things, and they're going to start making choices which you let them make. Because you've given them the privilege of making choices when they're not even ready to make them. That's why before you do things, you ask God, parents, Lord, should I let them do this? If you don't know, if you feel that you don't have that kind of wisdom, and stop saying, I don't have that kind of walk with God that so-and-so has. You don't have it because you're not willing to pay the price for it. All you've got to do is pray until you have a breakthrough. Some of you are standing on the outside looking in, doing good works, but God has something more he wants to do for you. Your good works won't open a door for you in heaven. The door won't swing wide open. Oh, I've done all these great things. You have done these great things, but not in my name. You would have done great things if you didn't know me. You have to understand, there's some things that people are designed to do in life, and they will do them because that's the way they're designed. And it's not because God was in orchestrating it. But if you stop yourself, I have to stop myself from hiding behind the Holy Ghost, hiding behind preacher, hiding I'm the Father. I need to be broken like Risa was teaching on Wednesday. I need to be broken just like he was broken. Remember he broke the bread and he said, this is my body. Broken for what? For you. See, everything that he's expecting you to do, he's already done it. If you've ever been embarrassed, he was embarrassed for our sake. If you've been in a place where you feel like no one loves you, he's been there already. If you've ever been in a place where you felt insignificant, he's been there already. He's been in every place that you could imagine that you have to walk through. And if he hasn't been through it, he can sure take you through it. I got real bold one day, and I said, Lord, you never fail. That's when I should have got a slap upside my head. But he said this to me in his grace and his mercy. He said, but I know how to help those who have. Sometimes all you need is help. Sometimes all you need is to ask for his help. And he will help you through any situation. I don't care how hard it is. The reason I say I don't care how hard it is, because he's brought all of us through some things, hasn't he? And he's been faithful, and we're still standing. Amen. I want to read something in your hearing. It's still found in the book of Luke. You can read it later if you like. In verse 16, it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Chapter 16, and Syriai, no. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? What's the importance of this? You have to understand that you have been called into a very unique situation to follow up where he left off. To follow up where he left off. He said that in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Don't you have the Spirit of the Lord in you? And he said, because he hath anointed, God will anoint you to preach the gospel. Amen. God will also, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And if you ask God, who are those that are brokenhearted? He will cause you to come alongside them and provide for them what they need. Is there anything that's hard for God or too hard for God? But if he employs you, when I mean employs you, he calls you from where you are and says, come along with me. He just wants you to partner with him. He's not saying you're not the healer. You're not the one that can fix things, but you're the one that can initiate it. You become his voice. You become his hands. In literal sense, it says, when we become his hands. I remember being in a prayer meeting, and the Lord said, go place your hands on his belly. And I'm like, I'm not going to touch his belly. That's gross. And look at it. This lady had brought her brother to a prayer meeting, and the Lord said, place your hand on his belly. And I had to explain myself to him real quick. Hey, bro, I'm going to put my hand on your belly. And this doesn't happen to me more than God does it on purpose. It happened more than once, because one time I pushed touched somebody's belly and something poked me in the hand. I said, what is that? And it was a hernia. I didn't know I was praying for his healing, but it scared me. I thought, nothing's not supposed to poke out up here. Somewhere else, but not there. So I put my hand on his tummy, and I was like standing there kind of nervous, and we were praying. That man got filled with the Holy Ghost out of obedience. So sometimes you're going to be put in situations that aren't always comfortable. You don't always know what God's doing, but if you're listening, if you want to see God's glory, if you want to walk with God in a very special way, because he's just waiting on us. I remember one day, I'm telling you embarrassing things so that you realize that sometimes things that you pray about are more important to God than they are to you. I remember sitting in the vehicle with my wife, getting ready to go to a function. We were going to another church, and I said, Lord, help us to change someone's life today. You ever prayed that? You ought to try it. Because, see, after we prayed it, I forgot it. You ever prayed for something you forgot about? And all of a sudden, you're in this circumstance where I walk by this lady in the store, and I felt the Holy Ghost on you. I thought, whoa, but I'm getting ready to go eat. So I didn't go back and talk to her. And then when I got home, the Lord said, that was your opportunity to change someone's life, even if they have the Holy Ghost already. Something you might have said, something you might have done, something she might have been struggling with, something she might have needed was in your mouth. Because the Bible says he fills our mouth. Don't make that mistake. If you don't really want it, don't pray about it. Because he has his ear to his church. It's not a coincidence that only a few of us have said, I am in revival. I'm going to be honest with you. All of us don't want the same thing. And that's what God does. He allows someone to speak and for us to realize that we don't all want the same thing. And that's a problem. Because we can't go forward if we don't all want the same thing. If we don't all want the revival, if we don't all want a church, some of you might think, a church, something bigger, more expensive, who's paying for it? You? It's not you. You might help, you might assist, but you're not paying for it. God does. But if you don't desire it, if you don't desire it, if you don't desire revival, that means that you want to stay like right where you are. And people out there are dying because there's no one reaching them. Or no one wants to be in those places where they can reach someone. See, sometimes we have to go to our harvest, and sometimes the harvest will come to us. But can God trust this body with the harvest of souls? People coming in here, sitting next to you, and then you realize, you know, boy, I'd love to have a Bible study. And Jonathan's just like on his phone. Or he's doing something else. Something else is more important. And sometimes the Lord, not sometimes, there have been times, thank you, Jesus, when the Lord said, and I was so embarrassed by this. I don't know why I'm telling you all these embarrassing things. I had an eight-hour job working every day, Monday through Friday. And I said, Lord, I need more money. And I said, Lord, I'm willing, if you will bless me with another job, to work 4 hours. And then he says, you never gave me that much time. I said, oh? See, when he talks to you, he has to sting you. Because you'll never remember it. If he didn't sting you like that and tell you what your heart was really on, I was so bent on making money. And I thought it was over with. That happened to me years ago. And then be careful when you pray for somebody to get the Holy Ghost, because God will start showing them you. That's dangerous, because you might not be doing everything you should be doing, and you can't hide from the Holy Ghost. And so I was right there with my children on the phone, and I don't know where they got the Holy Ghost from. I don't know who prayed them through. I wasn't there in some of those situations. I really was not there. They got the Holy Ghost without me. I would not have given it to them. Because I know that when you get the Holy Ghost, it changes you. And when it changes you, you make everybody around you accountable. So I'm on the phone with my children, and they're saying, Dad, you're addicted to work. No needles in my arm. But they know where they'll always find me. See, you can be addicted to anything. Be careful of your addictions. Because if you're addicted to people seeing this stuff that goes away, you'll see it one way and they'll see it another. Because it does get old. Woo! I've seen some men. I was in a restaurant working in the kitchen. And this man, older than I am, taller than I am, big muscular guy. And he saw this young lady walk by. He said, whoa. I said, Lord. He said, if I was a young man, what would you do? Just don't do it behind me. I was like, what? It was so creepy. I felt sorry for her and for me. Because I had the witnesses, and I know she felt something when he did that. I was like, whoa. I said, goodness gracious, you don't know what's in men. Don't think that because you're cute, he likes you. It's not just liking you. He might want more than just liking. And you don't know what kind of spirits he's going to bring into your life. And entice you with, and cause you to be persuaded. I don't know if you've ever been around people that cause you to feel different than what God intended you to be like. Man, can't get enough of that. Never mind, I'll leave that alone. Don't get caught up with the things of this world and not fall in love with God first. Fall in love with God first, and then he'll cause you to be able to discern good from evil. I thought that happened when you just got the Holy Ghost. But he has to give you discernment. And you have to grow in your discernment. And sometimes, because you won't listen, you don't even know you have it. Because it was never your intention to listen. I hope you understand that God wants you to listen to him. Because he is a father. And fathers really do want their children to listen to them. They're not trying to harm you. They're trying to correct you. They're trying to guide you. And then he gives us the Holy Ghost. Once that father is in place, there comes a place where a natural father and a natural mother relinquish the responsibility for your soul, and you become God's. And when you are given back to God who created you in the womb, when you're giving back to God, when God is the one that has to work in your lives, and he's the one that brings conviction, and he's the one you pray to, and he's the one that supplies all your needs, he's your God and not your children, not your family. He's your God and not your relatives. Some of us are mad at relatives because they won't give us what we want. Looking to relatives and family members, even sometimes church members, and not trusting the living God. When God shows you that he can take care of you, you should thank God. You should really, really thank God, because he's shown you a part of what he can do for you if you trust him. It's a process, church. Let's all stand. He is more than enough, and because his spirit abides in you, that makes you more than enough. His spirit wants to be there before something happens to you. He wants to dwell in the midst of his people. He wants to show you how great a God he is. Can we just lift up our hands for just a moment? I'm not doing this just as an exercise. It's just a sign of surrender. And Lord, we are here, standing here in your presence, in need of you. We need you, especially in this hour. Help us, deliver us from the things that we're drawn towards. It says, the lust of the flesh. Every man is drawn away by his own lust. Every man, every woman is drawn away by their own lust. And I pray today that God will show you the things that you're drawn by, drawn away from his will by, the things that seem to grab hold of your heart and draw you away from him, so that you can pray. And just like he told us last week or a couple weeks ago, deliver yourself through worship. Deliver yourself through reading my word. Deliver yourself through fasting. Deliver yourself, because there's always something you can do to get what God has the best for you. Yield yourself to God's spirit. Some of us need to learn to focus on ourselves. And what I mean by that is being selfish when you're in the presence of God, so that you know that it's between you and him. Not you and your brother, not you and your husband, not you and your wife, not you and your children. It's for you. He wants to touch your life so that you can touch their lives. You don't ever have to be afraid of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be afraid of his spirit. Because as he moves upon you, you just yield yourself to him. And he'll take over the tongue, which the Bible says is a very unruly member. Full of deadly poison, the Bible says. But he can guide that tongue, where your tongue would used to curse and find fault and blame and curse, now gives us praise to God and glorifies him. Bitter water and sweet water cannot come out of the same fountain. So when he fills you with his spirit, he's going to change your fountain. He says, make the fountain good. He says, make the tree good. Make it good so that its fruit is good. Praise God. Thank you, Father. In this moment, Lord, if there's anything else that I need to say, please put it upon my heart. If not, I'm dismissing them into your hands, into your care. And I thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to pray and to minister the word of God. I pray that someone's received something that's needful for their walk with you, Father. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your loving kindness. If there's anyone here that needs prayer, anyone here that needs more than what they've already received, please come forward to the altar and we will pray with you, believing God with you and for you. I want to remind you that there are people that are not here. If you looked around and have not seen them, let's just lift them up right now. People that are perhaps not here right now. And Father, we pray for Brendan and his wife, Jacqueline. We pray for anyone that's missing right now. Just think about it. Just look around you. Whitney, Hasata Bokoto Remasanda Lalabos, Jaziel, Hishende Dikiara Bosanda, Jair, just anyone that's missing, someone that you know could be here or should be here or just not here because they're sick in their bodies, lift them up before you, right? Before you, Father. We lift them up because, Lord, we need a body. Hashatoro Mokoto Remasanda de Yasoto Remasaya, Hishikioro Mohokoto Remasaya. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts. and directing our steps in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. You may be seated. You need to leave. You want to spend a little time in prayer, you can.